The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Before we hear from Cal Thomas and Mary McKeown, let's hear a little bit of US President Joe Biden when he rang in yesterday to MSNBC's Morning Joe show.
We have a special guest. Tony is now the 46th president of the United States and presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden calling in to Morning Joe right now. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Megan, I'm more than presumptive. I'm going to be the Democratic nominee. The bottom line here is that we're not going anywhere. I am not going anywhere. I wouldn't be running if I didn't absolutely believe that I am the best candidate to beat Donald Trump in 2024. We had a Democratic nominating process where the voters spoke clearly. I won 14 right. million of those votes, et cetera. So I not only believe that from the beginning, but I wanted to reassert and demonstrate that it's true. And I'm going to be doing that all through this week and from here on.
That said, there are a lot of people of goodwill who love you, who believe you did a great job in your first term, who are still concerned. Yesterday, the topic came up of the Stephanopoulos interview where you were asked the question, how would you feel if Donald Trump beat you? How would you feel after you lost? And you said, well, as long as I did the best I could do, that's the most important thing. That's caused Democrats concern who believe that losing is not an option. What would you say to those who are concerned by that answer?
It's not an option, and I've not lost. I haven't lost. I beat him last time. I'll beat him this time.
Cal Thomas, for a man who you and others think is suffering from dementia, he sounded pretty coherent there.
Well, Matt, I'm reminded, as he said, and he said it before, I beat him the last time, I'll beat him again, of what they say in the New York Stock Exchange. Past performance is no guarantee of future success. You have Democrats meeting today in Washington behind closed doors. One of them, Greg Landsman, a Democrat from our state of Ohio, came out and told the Wall Street Journal, there is an anxiety that is felt across the country. It's not just in that room, and it's not just with donors, and it's not just with Democrats. Another Democrat from Tennessee, Steve Cohen, said when he was asked if they were on the same page, he said, we're not even in the same book. So there's great anxiety. But the president is right. He played by the rules. He ran. He was selected by his party. He has 99% of the delegates. He is the presumptive nominee, and there's no way that he can be forced to step aside other than the 25th Amendment, and I don't think Vice President Harris or the cabinet members are going to sign off on that.
But the comment I invited from you was in relation to the coherence of his speech, because you have been very critical previously of him when he has mangled his words, yeah, as he did spectacularly in the debate against Donald Trump. And there you heard him on MSNBC getting everything right. He was entirely coherent in what he said.
Well, it was early in the morning, so he'd had a good night's sleep, apparently. But look, I watched yesterday's White House briefing by the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, and she was just going all around the questions that were being asked by an increasingly confrontational press, which has ignored all of these signs that Biden's mental challenges for the last 3 years. Now, all of a sudden, they're piling on. As I wrote in my column today, you can put this entire issue to rest or confirm what a lot of people are fearful of by just allowing the president or the president allowing himself to have a cognitive test and to put out the results for everybody to see. It's very simple. If you have any other kind of disease or challenge in your body, you go to the doctor, you get a test, you see the results. It's not about rhetoric and it's not about spinning. It is about facts. And we are facing a lot of problems in this country right now. And more and more people are not convinced. If you look at the Real Clear Politics averages, by the way, Trump is ahead in every single poll, every one, sometimes by 4 or 5 points beyond the margin of error. So I think there's some serious questions that have to be asked. And again, the president could put it all to rest if he just had the test.
And should Trump take the same test and absolutely have the results fully transparently disclosed as well?
Absolutely. Nikki Haley has recommended that. There have been a number of people, everybody running for president over, say, 55, ought to get completely tested and have the results released to the public. I mean, there were cover-ups in the past. John Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, even Dwight Eisenhower for a while. So we've had a history in this country of presidents and presidential candidates not wanting to disclose certain details, whether it's about their health or about their taxes. And I think that needs to change. So, yes, Trump should take one, too.
Marion, Biden in that clip said he believes that he is the best person to take on and beat Donald Trump. But he can believe it all he wants. What if the electorate decides otherwise? Why should the Democratic Party, even if it has, perhaps under with a lack of the relevant information available to it when it casts its votes as to who should be the nominee for president, if the Democratic Party needs him to step aside, shouldn't that be more important than his own self-belief?
Well, yeah, and this is what's really frustrating a lot of Democrats. And I think the sort of throwaway remark at the end of the George Stephanopoulos interview, which was pretty weak and was only 22 minutes, Biden said, basically Stephanopoulos asked him, well, how will you feel if you're beaten and if Trump, you know, isn't stopped because you won't basically, you know, wake up and step aside? And he kind of said, well, you know, once I've done the best I can, I'm going to give it everything and that's all I can do. And I think you could, like, literally the Democrats I've spoken to since then, that's been the single comment that really aggravated. Like, it's not enough to be a good loser in this race. There's too much at stake. But look, I think the Democrats have made a mess of this, actually, completely. The time, and I said this to you last week, I don't think that people understand what a big ship this is to turn around and to get try and get somebody in now, to draft somebody. It's very interesting to me that Gretchen Whitmer, who to my mind would be the best and the obvious choice, yesterday said, no way, I'm not doing this. Because anyone knows that, look, Barack Obama didn't come out of nowhere. Barack Obama spent 5 years before 2008. I saw him address the Democratic Convention in 2004, 4 full years before he ran. Nobody wants to jump into a race with a 10-week runway. And, you know, you've had all these people who are supposed to be great stars in the past, like Jeb Bush, like Katie Britt, like Marco Rubio. They hit the stage and they're just not ready for prime time. And the Democrats don't want to risk it now that, well, what if Gretchen Whitmer, who is a brilliant governor, turns out to be a disaster as a national candidate? It's the equivalent, honestly, Matt, I think, of if the Wimbledon finals on Sunday, if one of the candidates has to drop out, you say, well, let's just get the winner of the junior finals in. It's to bring in somebody who's not proven at this stage could be more dangerous for the Democrats.
I doubt it.
What they're doing now,
Marion,
no,
I really doubt it.
To understand the structure of how this works, really, because it's enormous. Like, Biden has 30, 40, 50 offices in every swing state. And one of the things people are saying is that now, Jim Clyburn, listen to people like Jim Clyburn. If Biden steps out, they're saying, well, it better be Kamala Harris. We're not going to stand aside and let Gavin Newsom or somebody parachute in here. So the whole thing is an absolute mess. And it seems now that Democrats are really reluctantly thinking, God, the lesser of the two evils might be just to keep Biden. And we saw that even the nine guys and women in Congress who came out very strongly, except for Mike Quigley, who's really frustrated, they've kind of pulled back. You had all of the squad, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, et cetera, saying we're with Biden. You had the Congressional Black Caucus saying we're absolutely with Biden. And listen to people like John Fetterman, who's the senator for Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a must-win state. He came out and excoriated Democrats and said, how dare you? You get behind your guy. You don't dump him for one debate. These are the states Biden has to win. I don't know if he can do it. I don't think he should be doing it. I think he should have dropped out a year ago. But I think at the moment, it's the worst of all possible worlds for the Democrats.
But Cal, I wonder if the money is going to be the issue. That if the Democratic donors stop supplying Biden, that's what will prompt the Democratic Party to say, we got to change candidate to get the money to fight the election.
You're absolutely right. Money is the mother's milk of politics in this country, and I'm sure in others as well. Trump raised something, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was over $20 million following the debate. a little over a week ago, which is just phenomenal. He continues when he's going to have a rally tonight in at his place in Mar-a-Lago in Florida. He's going to draw a big crowd. Biden isn't drawing big crowds when he appears. They're mostly people who have been invited to show up, and the cameras only show the front part, not the back part where nobody has filled out the room or the venue.
That's what Trump has been doing for years. I mean, like, we've seen the photographs. What happens is when you pull back the cameras at Trump events, particularly in recent years, there's a few hundred people there and the rest of the place is empty.
Well, not in every case, Matt, and not in the ones that I've seen, but that happens from time to time. But I think there's an enthusiasm gap here. While Democrats are wringing their hands over the condition of their candidate, Republicans are united behind Trump, whether you like him or not. I mean, power is a major aphrodisiac, and when politicians smell power, they get addicted to it. They don't want to leave. And this is true of Republicans and Democrats. Democrats don't have a right to run the government forever. It probably wouldn't hurt if they lost and regrouped and came back in 4 years when there will be an open contest with no incumbent president and try to regroup and win then.
Oh, you're assuming that Trump wants to try to change the rules to allow himself and run for a third time. I want to talk about Kamala Harris, Marion. Anthony Scaramucci is doing a very interesting podcast, The Rest is Politics US. And in it at the weekend, he put forward the idea that the Democrats are going to push Joe Biden out and that they're going to replace her, but Kamala Harris, not just as the nominee in the election, but immediately as president, because they're making the good point, or he was making the good point, that his sources were saying, if he's not fit to run the election, he's not really fit to be president between now and the election, it would give Harris more heft if she was in office when running to win it again. Also, the money which has come in for the Biden-Harris campaign can legally be much more easily used for her campaign if Biden steps aside. And also, and there's been a reference to this earlier, there's a large chunk of the Democratic Party, particularly Black Americans, who would say you cannot put her aside with somebody else, because that would imply that you only selected her as a token gesture to be the vice president. Does she have it? I mean, she's had a poor time as vice president in projecting herself. But does she have it if she was to be let off the leash to go into campaign as sitting president to beat Trump?
This is fantasy football. And, you know, the Mooch, or Anthony Scaramucci, he might be very entertaining, but he's not really a serious person, to be listening to in any way on politics, as we've seen previously from his very short and spectacular flame out. He did hit, though, on a couple of things there. There's no way that's going to happen, that Biden's going to resign before the election and hand over to Harris. It's just nonsense. But there is a real thing. And again, Jim Clyburn, who basically got by, who Biden has tanked for winning in 2020. It was Jim Clyburn who got everyone behind Biden in the primary when he was doing dismally. He has come out and said, if it's not Biden, it's going to be Harris. And that is a really interesting and telling comment to me. But the fact is that if for some reason Biden did pull out, it's entirely possible something serious could happen in the next couple of days or weeks, or he could have such another spectacular showing at a public event, NATO, whatever, that, you know, he might finally go, okay, right. I think in that case, there would be a sort of a speed primary and Harris would have to be stacked up there against everybody else. There would be a lot of anger if somebody was chosen over her. But I think if there was a convention, which would be chaotic, like an open convention where they could all make their pitch and she won, then it would be easier because she would have the money. She does have something of a national profile. She's strange, though, because I remember seeing her in the Senate gallery when she became a senator. She was undeniably, and this is what I'm talking about, rising stars. She was undeniably a rising star. She would walk into the Senate and everyone, Republicans and Democrats, would be kind of transfixed by her. She was charismatic. She was super smart. I went to her launch of her event, her presidential candidacy in early 2020, I think it was. She had more people there than Obama had at his final event, but she just didn't have it when it came to it. She just didn't have what it took. I'm not sure that she's had more experience now. The Biden campaign and the Biden administration did not treat her well as vice president so far, but she is becoming slightly more popular and she is doing slightly better on things like abortion. She mightn't be a bad choice, but can she beat Trump? I don't know.
Okay. Cal, Donald Trump is very quiet at the moment in advance of the convention at the weekend. I suspect that he doesn't want to keep kicking Joe Biden because he doesn't want the Democrats to replace Joe Biden because he is fearful that a different candidate would have a better chance against him.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And there's an old saw in American politics. It's reframed, but basically is, when your opponent is digging a hole for himself, don't interfere. Very unusual for Trump to be this quiet. Now, he did phone into Sean Hannity last night on his Fox show, didn't say anything really new, but other than, you know, the crooked Joe Biden line that he uses a lot. I don't know if he's going to do another debate. You know, there's another one scheduled for September. You've got the Republican convention coming up next week in Milwaukee, where Trump, of course, will be speaking along with his vice presidential choice, which we could know by Friday. But I think for dramatic sake, he may save it for the convention because that would take a lot of the media attention away from all the Democrats' problems and Biden's problems and make the discussion about his vice presidential choice. Trump had a very bad habit during his term of stepping on good news. When good economic numbers came out, he would say something outrageous, and then that would be the headline of the newspapers the next day. So hopefully, for his sake anyway, he's learned his lesson and knows when to keep quiet.
Cal, before I go back to Marion, Frida in Skerries wants me to put this to you. Biden went to a black church over the weekend and black people filled the church. 2 weeks ago, Trump went to a black church and it was filled with white guests.
Well, Trump made a speech during the during his campaign to a black audience, and he said, "Why do you people keep voting for Democrats? What have they done for you? Your schools are a mess. Your cities are a mess. The violence. So many of your people are in prison. Why don't you try something different?" I think that is a line that is resonating with especially younger black people. If you look at the polls, Trump is gaining among younger blacks, and when you talk about the Congressional Black Caucus, these are older generation African-American people, but the younger ones are saying, yeah, you know, my parents and grandparents have voted for the same party, and what have they done? Not much. They only show up in our churches and in other places at election time.
And I suspect Trump will promise some things and never give them anything either. Marion McCone, what about a vice president for Donald Trump? I mean, J.D. Vance, author of Hillbilly Elegy, could he really be the vice presidential pick?
You know, I can't see it. But then again, this is Donald Trump we're talking about. I'm weirdly thinking that it could either be Doug Burgum, because I think Trump wants somebody who will not take the limelight from him. J.D. Vance is, you know, I covered his campaign for Senate. He is not a pleasant, likable guy. He comes across as belligerent and kind of cranky and just a bit odd. I don't think he's good vice presidential material at all. Also, weirdly, very superficially, Americans don't really trust politicians with beards. I think that's a pretty, it's non-scientific, but I think he can take it. And there's just something.
Question. Since in the 20th century into the 21st century, has anyone been elected with a beard?
Nope, not that I can think of. And, you know, I as I say, not since Abraham Lincoln or you know, back in that era when they all had beards. But I think there's something also, he doesn't bring anything. Trump has the MAGA vote wrapped up. They are motivated. They are going to get out for him, every one of them, because they still believe the election in 2020 was stolen. J.D. Vance doesn't add to that. What Trump needs to do to win is not to just drill into his MAGA base. He needs to broaden it. Burgum wouldn't scare people away. He might be good for donors in that he seems to be a relatively sane businessman. I don't think Tim Scott is going to be the choice. The person that Trump should pick is Nikki Haley. If Ira's campaign manager, Susie Wiles, is an extremely smart person and has run a really disciplined campaign, I would say suck it up.
Okay.
This is who you need. But let's see what happens.
All right, we leave it there.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.